Hey, this is James Gall with God Encounters Ministries, where God encounters are for everyone. And yes, God encounters are for you. We're going to go on a journey together about journaling. And you might say, that sounds boring. Sometimes it is. But over a period of time, I'm going to give you an inside look at how inspirational journaling is. And so let's just pray at the beginning of this series on the scribe. The theme verse for this entire series comes from out of the Psalms. Isn't it amazing? The Psalms. I have a pen I've chosen for this series. It's got a clock on it. It's got a compass on it. It's got a map of the world on it. This pen actually represents a lot of who I am. But Psalm 45 verse 10, Psalm 45 verse 1 says, "My tongue is the pen of the ready writer." I never thought I would ever be a writer. And you might not think that you'll ever be a writer either. But my writing didn't begin professionally with the first book, The Lost Art of Intercession. My writing began in journals. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. For session one, then, the theme verse for this one comes from, of course, Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, where it reads, "Then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren, and who hold the testimony of Jesus.'" Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when you write, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will write things that you do not know. It's a truth. Now, so the opening, the vision is receiving revelation by journaling. For a little review, as I have pondered this subject actually for years, I actually find that there are three different distinct forms of journaling. Really? Many of us are exposed to one or two today, but historically, I'm saying there are at least three. Let's do a review of what those are. One would be dialoguing devotionally with God. Huh. Pause. Let's keep moving on. I will pause. I mean, I'll come back to that. And let's go to the second one. Recording revelatory experiences. Now, that's what I'm more known for. There is dialoguing devotionally with God. There is two, recording revelatory experiences. But then there's a third one. And I want to give as much value to it as I do to the communion with God realm of journaling and the revelatory realm. And it's basically documenting lessons in life's journey. A word that could be used, an old word, is diaries. These two are journals. Let me show you some examples. Dialoguing devotionally with God. Day by day, Gwen Shaw. Heavenly truths as given by the Holy Spirit. So this kind of overlaps between devotional and revelatory. A daily praise offering. Gwen Shaw was in heaven, the founder of the End Time Handmaidens, a true woman of devotion. So I've chosen to highlight Gwen Shaw. June 6th, give it back with a scripture reading. This is the very law of love, wisdom and graciousness, to restore that which you did not take away, to give back that which has been given to you. You could rightfully keep it. But there are times in your life when you will need to return that which has been given to you, not because you were forced to do so by any man-made laws, but because it is the only thing to do when you want to act in the higher laws of love and grace. That's profound. That is what comes by journaling your prayers, your love for God, and your devotion. And some then, do you know that a lot of books are actually based out of people's journals? This one is. This is an example of dialoguing devotionally with God. Recording revelatory experiences. I have a whole pile of my journals here. And did you realize that I actually just popped open to any page? And what a page did I just read from Gwen Shaw? And I just popped open to a page in a journal that means the world to me because my youngest daughter handmade this journal as a gift. See, that's where journaling, it becomes so personal. So I just flipped open and it says this. This is an example of recording revelatory experiences, a dream of being an old man, father with 30 leaders, spiritual, sensitive sons and daughters, looking through an album in a dream of burning ones, photo albums of burning ones. In a moment, there was the global awakening fire pinned on 7707, which was the date that I was the chairman of the call, Nashville, and I had a revelatory experience. Isn't that fun? I just popped open to that. Or how about a diary? Here's one by one of my heroes of the faith. The Heart of John Wesley's Journal. The Heart of John Wesley's Journal. Wow, but I like to jump into this. 1761, Friday, January 2nd, I wrote the following letter to the editor of the London Chronicle, sir. Of all the seats of woe on this side of hell, few, I suppose, exceed an equal Newgate. If any region of horror could exceed it a few years ago, Newgate and Bristol did, so great in filth and stench and the misery and wickedness which shook all who had spark of humanity left. Oh my gosh, this is like him talking about an experience where he's in cities in England and he's talking about the darkness. But it goes on in his journal to talk about, I was surprised how Holy Spirit came. Devotional journaling, revelatory journaling, historical life lessons journaling called diaries. What are keys to being a good steward? and receiving revelation by journaling. Are you expectant? Are you prepared? Are you a student? One of my goals in life is to be a constant student. I want to learn. I want to learn. I never want to top out. I want to keep learning. Three simple keys. When you go to be that time with God, are you expectant? Are you prepared? Are you a student? The nature of revelation itself is it's partial. Huh? What you get one day isn't the whole picture. That's why volumes can be really important. Because this is so personal and touching to me. Why? The nature of revelation is this. It is partial. It is progressive. And it is conditional. You probably have learned some of those things from some of my previous prophetic classes or some other leaders in the body of Christ. The nature of revelation, it's partial. So when you're journaling, guess what? And you're journaling your communal love with God, that's only partial. How can you pin in one setting how much your heart feels? It's partial. It's awesome. It's progressive because this scribe anointing is an invitation into relationship. It is conditional. Often, revelatory things that even that we scribe, that we write out, or we hear and we get in a dream, or we write it out later, the conditions are not always stated that are necessary to unlock the promise. So let's keep those three things in mind. It's progressive, it's partial, and it is conditional. Some practical applications. One of the great theme verses that's used by many who teach on communal devotional journaling with God and the revelatory side of journaling with God is this theme verse. I have used it for years. Many others have. It comes from the Old Testament, from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see, listen to this phrase now, I'm going to watch to see what he will speak to me. I'm going to watch speech. What? In the scribe anointing, you are going to watch to see what he will speak to me. And then the next part is fascinating. It deals with some of the conditions that need to be met, and how I may reply when I am reproved. Whoa, does that mean you might, find something that at some point in time might have pointed out something that needed cleansed? I wonder if so. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is so personal that he might point out for us a hindrance that's in our relationship. It's called experiential conviction. That happens when you're given the pen of the ready writer. So, practical applications. One, from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. You take your place. Do you have a place? For years, I had a chair. For years. I had the lazy boy. in the living room that I get up at 2 a.m. in the middle of the night for over 20 years. And I would sit with God for a while. Do you have a place? It can be important. But like people like me, when you travel so much, I mean, your place is from place to place. And sometimes my place is on an airplane. And some of you housewives out there, your place might be washing dishes. But do you have a place? For some of us, the place is the shower. Because when we are doing automatic activities, that's when Jehovah Sneaky sneaks in. But do you have a place? Point two. Are you watchful? Point three, do you believe He wants to speak to you? D or four, the heart motivation is everything. And then E or five, be ready to move into appropriate application. Now, I get all of that and more from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it again. I will stand on my guard post. So you have a position on the wall of God. And I station myself. You have to take your place on the rampart. I will be expectant. I will keep watch to see what He will speak to me. Pause again. How can you see speech? I don't know how to do sign language. Some people do, and God does. God knows how to speak in signs. God knows how to speak in signs. And as we get to learn our spiritual alphabet from the worn, torn Bible like mine, which I journal in my Bible too. That'd be fun. Maybe along the way we'll just open up a page and see like what I wrote. You know, my Bibles are some... Recently, because this one's falling apart, the Holy Spirit instructed me. He said, you need to get out an old Bible. So I just reached to the shelf, and I pulled out this one. Forgot about it. It's got my name embossed on it. And by the way, it's a holy Bible. And on the inside, it says, Holy Bible presented to our son. Wow. With your ordination, with love, Mom and Dad. April 16th, 1983, when I had gone on a 21-day fast. So even these Bibles can be our journals. See, that's a love note from another to me. So God speaks in signs, and we are to watch to see what the Lord will speak. And how I may reply when I am reproved. So we need to be ready with appropriate action, and we need to have the heart motivation to be adjusted or correct. Well, this is my story, folks. This little set of sharings is part of my journey, part of my story. My journey with the Holy Spirit. Now, I have done all three forms of journaling over my lifetime. And so you might ask, which one is right? Which one is better? For me, that is like asking the question, which gift of the Holy Spirit is the most important? A good answer can be the one that is needed at the moment. With the gifts of the Spirit, which is the most important? The one that is needed at the moment. Which form of journaling is the most important? Some are experts in devotional communal journaling. Amen. Go for it. Some are more precise in revelatory journaling. That would be one of my more places that I'm maybe excel in. And then there are the diaries. Thank God for the diaries of people. The Journal of John Wesley, the Diary of Anne Frank, the Journal of George Whitefield. So which one is better? I think it's like the gifts of the Spirit. Which is better? Which form of journaling is the highest? I think a good answer could be the one that's needed at the moment. In your life and in your walk with God, you will need to be flexible in the hand of God. Don't let journaling become rigid law or rule, but rather a tool in the master's hands. Otherwise, it'll become a form of religion. And then if you don't really keep up with it one day, you'll come under condemnation. They're tools to relationship. So let them rather be tools in the master's hands. Do what matters, just also do it. Points that matter. Receiving pure revelation. There is the pure river of God. Revelation that originates from the throne of God is clear and it is pure in its origin. The problem is we have tainted filters. And so the pure revelation goes through our prejudices and our filters, our hurts and our wounds and our life experiences. So it originates with great total clarity and purity, but it does at times go through our filters that still might need some more cleansing. But the goal is for us to become clear vessels, so that then what comes out of us is as pure as what comes into us. The significance of quietness. This one has been a huge part of my life because I have a very busy, active mind. Learning the lessons years ago, I spent by a dream that I journaled. I was told that the Lord was going to reveal to me hidden secrets, prophetic secrets. And when I woke up out of that, I thought, that means, oh, wow, I'm going to meet all kinds of these prophets, and I have. But someone who was living with us at the time, who did not grow up in the United States, but in Southeast Asia, said to me, because they didn't grow up on modern contemporary Christian literature. They just grew up with the Bible, and they grew up with something called the Christian Mystics and the Desert Fathers. And they said to me, oh, well, what that means, James, is that the Holy Spirit wants to take you on a journey of revealing to you realms and people in history and the faith that you haven't been exposed to yet. And I went, first of all, I went, eh. And then I went, uh-huh. So I spent a year that other than my Bible, I read the Desert Fathers and the Christian Mystics. And so in some of those writings, I learned some lessons about quieting our soul before God. One of the phrases that's used by Andrew Murray, and by the Bible, by the way, is called waiting on God. And so quietness is vitally important. Learning the lessons of quieting our soul before God is a major key. We're to walk in and maintain the center of quiet in the midst of a chaotic world. Have you learned to quiet your soul in order to have greater communion with God? Another point that matters is being secure in God. A realistic tension exists between being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not being reactive to the corrections of others. We must find security or even reaction to the correction that Habakkuk 2:1 talked about, and how I may reply when I am reproved. We must find our identity and security, and it will be tested, and it will shift, and it will change, and it will grow in our relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. I wonder if that's why some years ago I had the dream that I sat down and the Lord had changed me into an old man, a father. Another point that matters is that it's always relational. It's not about performance. Your journaling, your scribe anointing is not about performance. Let me pull out something here. I'm just going to pull out one. Kind of scary to do this. It's not about how neat it is. But do you date it? I had a dream of turning my session today into a clinic and not just a teaching on the power of praying in tongues. Oh my gosh. Do you know I get a lot of my assignments by revelation? And then when I write them down, this is not for others, this is for me. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. And so, this is not about performance. This is not, can someone else read this? I have done a lot of journaling in the middle of the night. I've done a lot of journaling when I first wake up. And believe me, you need the gift of interpretation of handwriting. So it's not about performance. It's not how much you write. It's not how well you write. It's not, is your grammar correct? Now, you'll have to learn some grammar lessons if you're going to actually write books, but that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about three forms of journaling: devotional, revelatory, and recording life's experiences. And so it's personal. It's not about how neat or how grammatically correct your journaling is. It's not about your performance level. No matter the expression of your journaling, it's all about cultivating intimate relationship with your Maker. Well, this is James Galt sharing session one on receiving revelation by journaling. So let's have a time of empowered prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I present myself to you. I want to grow in the spirit of revelation. Therefore, I submit myself to you. And I'm asking that you lead me into the right application of journaling that fits the current season of my life. I call forth the empowering work of the Holy Spirit to make my journaling effective. Amen and amen. This is James Galt with sharings. These are sharings from my heart and life's experience, and reading much, and taking part of the bread of my life and breaking it off like Jesus did with his disciples. And he said, take, eat. This is my body. And that's my goal with the scribe. Because not only has he given me, he has given you the pen of the ready writer. Amen.